Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We are going to continue tonight on our series called Recipes for the Christian Life. Recipes for the Christian Life. And tonight, I think something that will be quite refreshing and quite helpful to you. This is going to be a very familiar passage, but probably for many of you, taught in a way that you never saw before. So here we go. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, keep your finger there, your Bible's open, and look back at me. We live in a weak world today. People are not strong physically. They're not strong mentally, and they're not strong emotionally anymore. Just look around. They're not strong mentally. People will believe anything but the truth. We have generations of people who are not willing to try anything unless it's fun. I can't do that. I couldn't do that. I'm so tired of hearing I can't. It just drives me insane. We have dumbed down education to where kids making kids read by third grade. The public education system in America rebelled at President Bush. Well, folks, you were supposed to be able to read by the end of kindergarten. Right. Not wait till third grade. We had several presidents who never went past the sixth grade and got law degrees. Think through that for a second. Abraham Lincoln never went to school past sixth grade but got a law degree. Now, that sixth grade education was more than what most high schoolers ever get today. Now, listen to this very carefully here. The urbanization of America has created weakness. People do not get up early to do chores. Early to this society is 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Early in old America was you got up at 4, 4:30 in the morning and did your chores for a couple hours, ate breakfast, went to school all day, came back and did more chores, and then you did your homework. And then your dad said, okay, go do what you want to do, and you're too tired to get in trouble. See, people have cars, roads to take them everywhere. Used to be everybody walked to school. Used to be everybody either took a horse or took a wagon to go into town. And you only went when you absolutely had to. People buy their food prepackaged and pre-canned and pre-jarred and prepared already. There was a day... I remember growing up, we canned most of our own vegetables. How many of you all know what the old coal packers are? All right? Coal packing tomatoes in August. There's nothing as hot as 100 degrees outside, standing over a gas stove with a coal packer on there and all four burners going, and you got 8 or 9 jars. You've been standing over boiling water, peeling those stupid things, cutting them, throwing them into jars, cleaning the jars, throw them in that thing. And then you got to go down there in front of all that gas heat and everything boiling in your face and pull the jars out and waiting for them to go. And hopefully they all went, or you were eating tomatoes for a long time. Or you learn how to freeze vegetables. You don't just pick something and put it in a bag and throw it in the freezer. Most time you got to blanch them or that type of thing. And God knows people in America today don't know how to butcher their own meat. Thank God I had somebody taught me how to butcher. So when I go hunting, I butcher all my own meat. I grind all the burger, you name it, do it all. You say, why? Because it would cost me a fortune as many critters as I've killed in my time. I'd had to have a third job just to take care of that one. But people don't do that anymore. Now, urbanization has brought grocery stores to do all these tasks for us. The grocery store industry started because industry started springing up. people would move closer to work, and they said, we'll put a store in so that you can buy your food. We'll give you more money to wherewith to work so you don't have to grow your own food and can your own food. And that's where all this started. Now, people, and by the way, I don't get upset with it. It's just a fact. It doesn't mean that it's wrong to live in an urban area. It's just the way things have gone. And I don't blame society that it's this way, but the fact is it's made us lazy and it's made us weak.
Right.
If we can't buy it at the store, we don't know what to do. Last week I was grinding deer burger. And my wife, I had cut it all, and you got to leave it frozen to cut it, because when you grind it, it grinds better if it's frozen. So you leave it thaw for about 12, 14, 16 hours, and it's just enough to take the initial hardness off, but it's solid all the way through. And you got to cut it and cut down through it and put it into smaller pieces and grind it all and et cetera, et cetera. I'd been through that process. And then I was putting it back through the grinder, and my wife was helping me put it in the bags and bagging it up, because it's a whole lot easier doing it that way than using spoons to fill up those little one-pound bags. You know, it doesn't work real well. And I bought this real nice grinder a couple years ago. Great, no problem. And they gave you the cheapest plastic parts on the ends. And sure enough, I got about halfway through, and my precious little wife pushed down on that little plastic part, and all the meat pushing through there went and broke that thing off. And I said, uh-oh. So I thought, well, and of course all the stores are shutting down and everything else. So I ran down to a supply store. They didn't have nothing. They said, oh, you'll have to call Chambersburg and hopefully they'll have it. That's not working. I've got 50 pounds of frozen meat sitting here. I got to have it today. I said, let me go back. So I went back and started looking around. I thought, that soup ladle thing, I think we could cut a hole in that thing and stick that plastic tube in there. I think we could, let me try that. So I went and bought that thing, went over to Dad's, and him and I worked on it, took it back to the house, went to screw it in, and it didn't fit right. That stink. But I knew we could make it fit right, but it was going to take a lot more work. So I went over and he looked at that thing, and I brought the collar with me this time, and he said, hang on. He reaches across the counter. He said, I wonder if this would work. Try this. And he had a little funnel, and the end of it was just big enough to fit in there. He said, we can cut that end off and stick that plastic piece in there. I said, yeah, but it's just a little small. He said, well, we can make a plastic O-ring to put in there, and we'll hold that thing in there. So in about 15, 20 minutes, man, we'd cut the lid off of an ice cream bucket, got that thing on there, cut that thing down, put that plastic piece in there. I said, hoorah, here we go. I ran back to the house. My wife said, did you get something? I said, we got something. Let's see if it works. Screwed that thing in there. It'll last forever. You think I'm going to call Chambersburg? No, they're going to give me another plastic part that isn't going to work. Now, I say that to say this. The world doesn't think that way anymore. Most people wouldn't know what to do from that point. Well, you got to think outside the box. God gives us a recipe here, though, in Philippians 4:13 on how to be strong in all things that we do. Now, let me say this. We don't have to be weak.
Amen.
You don't have to be weak spiritually. You don't have to be weak physically. You don't have to be weak mentally. God tells us here how we can be strong. Let me give you the three ingredients, and then I'm going to teach for just a little bit and then close it up here. Number one, it says, I can do. Number two, all things which strengtheneth me. Number three, through Christ. Those are the three ingredients in that order. Now, first ingredient, I can do. I want you to notice what God says. Remember, these are God's words, not my words. Look what it says. It says, I can do. Is that not what it says? Okay, wake up. Sound like a bunch of Presbyterians.
Amen.
There you go. Thank you, Brother Scott. It doesn't say, I can try. It doesn't say, others can do. It doesn't say some people can do it. It does not say I can do it in one try. It does not say if the conditions are right, I can do it. This is personal. It says I can do. That means you can do it.
Right.
Every person can do it. The next part of this is, by the way, it's doable. It says, I can do. Some have to work a little harder to get it done, but it can be done. As you rear children, don't let them say, I can't do this. Oh, my soul. Cut can't out of their vocabulary.
Right.
When I went to Bible college, you couldn't find a dictionary on the college campus that had the word can't in it. They had taken it out literally with a pair of scissors in every dictionary. Say why? Because Brother Hiles didn't believe in the words, I can't. He believed in the words, I can. Now, that means this. You don't stop till you can.
Right.
You don't stop until you can. There are some things that don't come naturally, but you can still do them.
Right.
There are some things that don't come easily, but you can still do them. There are some things that don't seem to be right, but you can still do them and they'll be right. It does not come by intellect. It does not come by philosophy. It doesn't always come by knowledge. It comes by doing. It says, I can do all things. Can I tell you where America has hurt themselves? We got rid of trades and trade schools.
Right.
Got rid of shop classes. Got rid of home ec classes. Then they started letting the boys take home ec and the girls taking shop. That was not a good thing. Did you know doing something repetitively makes you strong?
Amen.
Brother Josh, come over here for a second. He didn't know this was coming. You're going to have to come on this side since everybody's over here. Show me 10 push-ups real quick here. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. I know he's counting. That's why. Okay, now wait a minute. That did not make him strong. But doing that time after time after time after time after time, doing it repetitively over and over and over, that's what makes you strong. I'm not going to embarrass you anymore. All right? I was going to see if you could do them one-handed, but I used to be able to. May I say something? You have to keep doing something to stay strong. I think it was a couple years ago, my wife and I went on vacation. It was last summer. We went to, where did we go? Niagara Falls for our anniversary. I knew we went somewhere. A couple years before then, it's the first time we'd been on vacation for a couple years, but I didn't preach on that Wednesday night. Do you know that on the next Sunday morning, my voice wasn't quite up to par? Say why? Because I had quit using it like I normally do. I didn't get to yell at her. When you quit using something like you normally do, it starts getting weak right away. So it takes a couple times before it came back, and it was quite strong. Philosophy does not make you strong.
Right.
I'll make a statement here. Just because you have knowledge here doesn't make you smart.
Amen.
I don't care how many facts you know. I don't care how many philosophies you know. What's your life say? There's a lot of people that think they know a lot of scripture, and they may be able to quote a lot of scripture, but they live like an animal and live like the devil. That doesn't mean they're spiritual. Watching others get strong does not make you strong.
Amen.
You can go to the gym when they're open, sit down on the couch and watch everybody exercise for 45 minutes and walk out and you'll be no stronger.
Right.
Just because, and you can say, I went to the gym. Well, yeah, did you do anything? Well, you didn't ask me that. You don't get strong by watching others becoming strong. You get strong by doing, not by watching.
Amen.
You get strong by repetition, not by doing it once and you got it.
That's right.
You don't get strong because you have right philosophy. You get strong by doing. So God says, I can do. We need to get to the point where all of us believe God that we can do what we are supposed to do. Folks, if you're supposed to do it, you can do it.
Amen.
God never gave you something that you could not do.
Yes, sir. That's right.
God never commanded you to do something you could not do.
Right.
Now, number two. This is where I need you to think with me for a moment. You can do all things which strengtheneth me. Now, I want you to look at the verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. English grammar, and for lack of better terminology, Greek grammar are different. Placements of words in the Greek language is different than in the English language. In English grammar, it's improper to say, I don't know, or I don't want no something or other. That's called a double negative. In the Greek language, that would be showing emphasis and it would be appropriate. There are places in Scripture where you have five negatives in a row. An English grammarian would go, but in the Greek language, it's for emphasis. It's to show importance. The order in which things come shows an importance in Greek language. And in the Greek, this is literally written, I can do all things which strengtheneth me through Christ. So the which strengtheneth me goes with doing all things. Now that's important because most people say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not what it says. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What which? Those things you're doing.
That's good, Richard.
It is the things that you do which strengthens you.
Amen.
So it doesn't say, it does not say, I can do all things. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say, I can do all things. That means this. I should not go out and get drunk.
Amen.
And Brother Scott does. No. It doesn't mean you should go out and drink beer. That's doing something, is it not? So it doesn't give us permission to do whatever we want. I should not be immoral. I should not cheat the IRS and not pay my taxes. I should not try to live beyond my means and expect God to make up for my mess.
Amen.
So it does not say I can do all things. I'm not going to jump off the roof of my house and expect not to get hurt. Say why? It doesn't say I can do all things. You see, God gives some parameters here. He says you can do all things which strengthen you. Now watch this. Turn to Romans chapter 7. If you've been in church at any length of time at all, this is going to be a very familiar passage, but not in light of what you just heard. Romans chapter 7, look at verse number 13. Let's look at verse number 12. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, the sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. Watch this. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Then if I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In other words, we do things we shouldn't do, and we should do things we're not doing. God doesn't say, I can do all things. It says, I can do all things which strengthen me. Did you know you can strengthen your body? Everybody can exercise?
Amen.
Now, if you're an older person, I don't suggest going down to Gold's Gym and picking up the 300-pound bar and start lifting it from there. You say, why? Because that's not wise.
Amen.
All right? But I've been in nursing homes. I've been in therapy places. And I've watched people grab cans of vegetables and work their muscles. Because it's just enough to get it moving. You got to start slow and work your way up. But you got to keep it working. God's telling us here, it's not that you can do anything. It's you can do all things that strengthen you. Now watch this. When we obey the word of God, it strengthens us.
Amen.
Listen to this statement. When we obey the word of God, not when we know the word of God. Too many Christians think they're smart. Too many Christians think they're spiritual because they know something, but you're not spiritual till you do something. Spirituality is not a knowledge, it is an obedience. And you can't obey without doing something. Obedience requires action. Sometimes it requires inaction. Sit still! That's inaction, but it's actually an action. Now, listen to this very carefully. When we obey the flesh or man's way, it does not strengthen us. Someone who lives their life on alcohol is a weak person.
Amen.
Someone who lives in sin is a weak person. Someone who lives with an appetite for the things of the world, they're the ones freaking out right now.
Right.
Those of us who live on the spiritual side of things are saying, come on back, Jesus. Is Gabriel ready? Has he licked his lips yet? Has he warmed up the trumpet? Are we ready? I'm ready to go, amen. I'm not weirded out and freaked out by all this stuff. So, preacher, it's just so bad. When people say that to me, I know who they've been listening to, the news. Folks, when we obey the flesh and when we obey man's ways, we are not strengthened, we're torn down. God never commands us to do something that we cannot do ourselves. Be ye kind one to another. Did you know you can be kind to people you disagree with? I had a conversation yesterday. I disagreed with somebody, but I did it in a kind way. They were a bit upset that I was having church. It wasn't somebody in our church, somebody from another state. And I said, and they said, I just can't believe you. You're putting people in danger. You're endangering lives. And I said, we're going to have to agree to disagree. Plain and simple. Now, they pressed the issue. You say, what did you say? Nothing. I was being kind. I was not angry. To be honest with you, I felt a little sorry for them. That they are so steeped in man's way that they can't see God's way. The very people that we get upset about, Nancy Pelosi and Chucky Schumer and all these people, these are the ones pulling the trigger here. The CDC, coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. They haven't been able to figure it out yet. The same people that put mercury in vaccines. Now, I'm not saying all of them have it and you have to work hard and you can get them without it, but you wonder why people have a problem with vaccines. I'll tell you why. Number one, they do too many at one time. Number two, they're putting substances in it that should not be there as test particles.
Right.
Everybody's all freaked out about mercury and, don't touch it. You need to have biohazards. And yet you let them inoculate your children with it. That's from the CDC. These are the same people that let the diseases in from other countries. Okay. Point number next. No. Strength then is active obedience. If Brother Josh goes to the gym and watches people do push-ups, he does not get strong. You get strong by doing, not by watching. You get strong by active obedience, not just agreement. Amen. Everybody in here agrees exercise is good for you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands to find out who's done it. You can agree all you want, but until you do or obey, there is no strength.
That's right.
I don't care how much you agree with me. How much are you doing? I don't care whether you agree with God. How much are you obeying? Well, I agree with the Bible. I agree with the church. Okay, then show me by how much you obey. So, I can do, secondly, all things which strengtheneth me, lastly, through Christ. Jesus is not welfare. Jesus is not the genie in the bottle and you rub him and he pops out of the bottle and he says, whatever you want, I'll grant your wish. God's way to bring money is hard work and faithfulness. Not give me, give me, give me, give me. I taught my children. I've taught our church. God sometimes answers your request for money by giving you more work.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Matter of fact, most of the time he does.
Right.
I watch people refuse work and then complain about the fact that they don't have money. God answered your prayer. You just told him, no, you're not going to work for it. Don't get mad at me. Everybody doing okay? Well, I wanted God to drop it from the sky and put it in my wallet or my bank account. Good luck. God's way to bring in money is faithfulness and hard work. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. God didn't make the church, the welfare department, to pass out food.
Amen.
Churches have turned themselves into that. But I don't find that anywhere in Scripture where it's the church's job to hand out food and clothes. We're not the Salvation Army. Everybody doing okay? But I'll show you how it works. A family in Winchester, one of our bus families, had a fire a couple weeks ago. We passed the hat and got about $400 cash, and Mrs. Cave and Mrs. Lopez went together and got a vehicle load full of clothes for everybody. Another family called me just this last week and said, I got furniture for them as soon as they get a place to live. Now, that's how it works, but I don't have everybody lined up and have a food kitchen or soup kitchen. The church isn't supposed to be the welfare department. I wished I had a dollar for every time Mrs. Barnes or myself or Brother Josh sometimes gets a call. My electric's going to get turned off. Will you pay my electric bill? Will you pay my rent? I'm not kidding. We, in the last 7 years, I'll guarantee there's been over $100,000 worth of bills called into the church asking us to pay for it. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I mean, thousands. And then they get mad at you if you say no. Well, get mad at me. Take care of our church people and help them the best I can. I got to pay my bills. You go pay yours. I'm sorry. I'm not going to spend God's people's money and God's money on people that don't have the character to go out and get a job and pay their bills. Now, if we've got a family in need in our church, we're going to come together and help them. That's what the Bible says to do. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
But may I say this, we need to work his way. We need to do our work as though it was his work. Now this is where it's going to hurt. Are you ready? That means this, at your work, at your job, where you're employed, you ought to do it through Christ, not through your employer. The word flow or through is the word flow. It means like a conduit, like a pipe. And he is to flow through us. We are to do our work as though he's flowing through us. If Jesus worked your job, would he say the things you say? Would he treat people the way you treat them? Would he work the way you work? I didn't say it, God did. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the delivery boy, amen? Did you know if he flows through you, you can become more efficient? You'll be right more times than not. And he'll be able to bless you in your work. When's the last time you looked at your employer and realized he was a picture of Jesus in your life and served him that way? A week ago Sunday, a guy stood here, about that tall. I worked for him over 30 years ago. He sat in my office. We talked about the two sums of money that he gave that equaled $165,000 for the part of the construction of this building. And I looked him square in the face with another man sitting in the office, and I said, and I didn't call you, you called me. He said, I know, and you wouldn't tell me what you needed. I said, because if I told you what I needed, I wouldn't have got what I got. I said, I'd rather have God tell you what I need, and I'll never ask you for a penny.
Amen.
I said, I can't buy much for a penny. He started laughing. And I said, seriously. I said, Stuart, did I ask you for anything? He said, no. And when he got home after our church service, flew back to Indiana on his private jet that's worth millions, an Embraer, flew home and said, I've given away literally millions and millions and millions of dollars and have never been as satisfied with the money we invested in your church and your people. I've never seen anything like that. The last line he said, let me know when you're ready to start your second building, okay? I'll let him know. I'll just say we're starting on it. You do what you want to do. You say, why is that? Because God touched his heart, I didn't.
Sorry.
I'd rather be God. God knows, time he gave us $100,000, I was only asking God for 10. Mrs. Barnes will tell you, I said, man, really need $10,000. God, please give me 10. God multiplied that by 10. Put $100,000 in the bank account. Glory to God. See, doing it through him means he uses us and he does it through us. Instead of Jesus in the Bible being the last place you go, how about it being the first place we go?
Amen.
How about at the job we look at our boss, whether it be our immediate supervisor or the big boss or whoever it is, look at every level of boss in your life as though Jesus would. Man, that hurts, doesn't it? Well, they don't act like Jesus. Okay, but maybe if you did your work like you should, they would come to Jesus. You know why that man got saved? He told you. He met a couple college boys that worked their tails off. And on one Sunday, we had a big Sunday at church, and we sat 7 millionaires down in a room and preached to them, and all 7 of them got saved. We earned the right to preach to them because of the way we worked and treated them that way. So let me finish with this. The recipe is, I can do all things which strengtheneth me through Christ. You put all three together, mix them with yieldedness and hard work, then you'll have the strength to do that which makes you stronger.
Good.
Did you know if you don't get off the couch, you can't walk?
True.
You got to get up and go. I didn't say you could do anything you want. I did not say God will do all for you that you want him to do, but you can do all things which will make you stronger so that you can do more in the process.
Amen.
Well, I can't do all that. Do what you can do and see if you can do a little more.
Amen.
Do what you can do and do a little more. And do what you can do and do a little more. That will strengthen you. That's what God's talking about in Philippians 4:13. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. So many things I want to say. I'll stop. Maybe we just need to find strength. Well, maybe you need to find how to get strength by using it.